107 at the bottom? And Lamed Aleph on top? Okay. I don't think we finished Perek Lamed, I mean, Chav Dalid. We did finish Chav Dalid? Okay, good. So, Stein Chafei. I didn't know if we almost finished it, or we finished it, yeah? Okay. Before we start Chafei, just to give a brief introduction what Alter Rebbe is going into Chafei. And Alter Rebbe in Perek Chafei is finishing basically the first 25 chapters of Tanya, and then he goes into Perek Chavah, which starts a new thing. Until now, the Alter Rebbe was explaining, starting from the beginning of Tanya until through the first 17 chapters of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, the whole Tanya is based on the Pasuk, Ki Karev Elach Adavah Ma'id. It's very close, not only close, but Karev Elach Adavah Ma'id, it's extremely close, to serve God, Beficha Ubelvavcha La'aseisei. Which means in your mouth, in your heart, which refers to thinking, thought, and action. So the Pasuk is saying that it's extremely close for a person to serve God in thought, speech, and action. And the whole Tanya is based on explaining how is it easy when we know it's not easy. So in the first 17 chapters of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is discussing the battle between the godly soul and the animal soul. There are two kings wanting to capture the city. The city is called the body. Two kings are fighting over the body to control it. When two kings fight over a city, the fight is over the control. Okay? The Nefesh of the kids wants to control the body. The Nefesh HaBamis wants to control the body. The Yetzer Tov wants to control. The Yetzer Hara wants to control. And this is the fight that's going on. The Alter Rebbe explained in the first 17 chapters of Tanya the concept of a Beinoni, that every Jew could be a Beinoni, because a person is born with the human physical ability for the mind to control the heart. Meyach shalat alev b'teva tudasi. The Alter Rebbe says it's an inborn nature that a person has that the mind controls the heart. So therefore, if a person understands and meditates in through Chabad, like he says, Aruch HaKsar, the long short way, he says when a person meditates what the godly soul is all about, and what God wants to know, that all that, so then the mind can control the heart, and you'll never come to sin. Starting Perek Yizayin and Yitches, the Alter Rebbe started explaining, but what happens if a person cannot meditate to such an extent to create a tangible fear and love of Hashem? That's the ideal situation. That intellect stimulates such a love and a fear of Hashem that's all you want. So what happens if he can't? So the Alter Rebbe started explaining, every Jew has what's called the Avim Esoteres. Every Jew has this natural inborn love of Hashem just because they're Jewish and they have a neshama. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe was explaining in the last number of chapters from Yud-Zayin through Chav Dalid, that because in order to do Torah Mitzvahs, you don't need this open love and fear of Hashem. The natural instinctive love and fear of Hashem that a Jew has is sufficient to serve Hashem in thought, speech, and action. Because it's not a love that you need to create, it's a love that you need to reveal. And because you just need to reveal it, it's feasible for every single Jew to do it. So in Perek Chav Dalid, in Chav Gimel first, the Alter Rebbe added and was explaining that a person needs to realize the great accomplishment of doing a mitzvah. And the Alter Rebbe elaborated that when a Jew does a tiny act of a mitzvah, that connecting themselves to the essence of God, which is above finite and above infinite, and he's connecting himself to the essence of Hashem. And in Perek Chav Dalid, the Alter Rebbe says, any time you do a sin, it's really idol worshipping. And ask any Jew, even a simple Jew, is willing to give up their life not to transgress and not to bow down to an idol. It's one of the three cardinal sins you have to give up your life for. But a Jew by nature, even a non-religious Jew, if he's told bow down to an idol, so kill you, he's ready to give up his life. So he says, every sin is idol worshipping. Every single sin is equal to idol worshipping. Why? Hashem is standing right in front of your face. Hashem says, don't do it, and you do it. Or Hashem says, do it, and you don't do it. So you're denying the existence of Hashem, basically, which is idol worshipping. So the Altrebbe says, if a person understands that every single sin we do is idol worshipping, so he says, if a person is willing to give up his life not to bow down to an idol, you're not willing to give up your temptation not to bow to the idol? Let's say you want to eat something you shouldn't, right? So if a person understands eating treif is idol worshipping because in front of God's face I'm eating something he told me not to do, right? So mamash, I'm going against Hashem. He says, a person is willing to give up the life not to worship idols, and you can't give up your temptation not to eat the, not to eat the treif. It's idol worshipping. So he says, when a person realizes that, both what you accomplish by doing a mitzvah, and what you accomplish in the opposite, in the negativity by doing a sin, the Rebbe is now going to say in Chofei, now we can understand, it's really very easy. And for a person to understand this, that every sin is idol worshipping, and he says, you're not talking about the tremendous love and fear of Hashem, that you love and fear God like you love yourself. You don't need that level of love. It's an intellectual stimulation of the natural instinctive love that a person has within them to understand, listen, you know, I should be ready to give up my life. I shouldn't be ready to give up my temptation for a few minutes. So he says like this. So, by the way, one more point. So if every sin is idol worshipping, so why does a person sin? So he says, this is the Ruach Shtus, the fuller spirit, that convinces the person that you're still connected. And therefore, it's not idol worshipping, you're still a Jew, you're still good, it's fine, everything. Okay, so he says now like this, Perchofei, B'zeh Shekosev, this is what the Pasuk says, Kikod Ve'lech Adav, is very close to this concept, Shebechol Eis Uvechol Shah, every hour, every minute, B'yodeh Shel Adam U'Bershusei, it's in the hand of the person, and in his possibility, lahavi ruach shtus, to remove this foolish spirit, vashikha mikibin, forgetting about godliness from within him, v'lizkar ula'erir avasi la'ashem echad, and to awaken this love of Hashem echad, hamasuteres bevadai b'livavai, which is definitely existing in his heart, b'lishim safik, without any doubt. So he says, once a person realizes the things he spoke about in Perek Chav Dalet and Chav Gimel Chav Dalet, he says, then a person could understand why it's very easy to remove the foolish spirit that's causing him to sin, because he realizes this godliness is within me. We've mentioned many times in the Kiruv programs, They have a few statements that the Rebbe didn't agree with. They always say Kirev Rechaikim. They're being Mekarev, the Jews that are far. The Rebbe commented many times about that. A Jew is never far. A Jew has an neshama. A Jew is never far. So why calling bringing close somebody who's far? They're not far. They're close. Except why? Because the Yiddishkeit of a Jew exists within them at all times. As the Altrebbe said in the previous chapter, even b'shas achet, even when you sin, you're still connected to Hashem. The only problem is, it's not that the Yiddishkeit is not there. The Yiddishkeit is there, but it's covered with mud. And it's a much easier thing to uncover the mud, to blow away the dirt, than to create something that you don't have. And the Rebbe says, the Alter Rebbe is saying that when a Jew has this, definitely this Ava Mesoter, you have a neshama, you're Jewish, you have this hidden love within you without any question. All you have to do is wake it up, it's sleeping. Because it goes to sleep at the time of sin. And that's why it says, Beficho Bovavcha Laseisei, it also implies fear, not only love, but fear. Not to be separated in any way, at any time, from the oneness of Hashem, Afilu b'mesiras nafesh mamish, even actually giving up your life. The Alter Rebbe is saying over here two things. There's love and there's fear. Love is what wants you to bring you closer. Fear is what causes you not to rebel. The Alter Rebbe in Perek Chof said, and it's logical also, love is the source of all positive mitzvahs, and fear is the source of all negative mitzvahs. If I don't do, we mentioned this many times, if I don't do a positive mitzvah, let's say a person doesn't put on tefillin, they did not actively rebel against Hashem. They didn't actively rebel against Hashem. They passively didn't do what Hashem wants them to do. But they didn't rebel against Hashem. So why does a person want to put on tefillin? Because I love Hashem so much, I want to be connected to Him. How do I become connected to Hashem? By doing His positive mitzvahs. When I do an act. In other words, when you do a good act for somebody, it's not out of fear, it's out of love. I want to be connected to you. If I go against you, I transgress a negative mitzvah, it's not because of love. I respect you so much, I don't want to hurt you, I don't want to rebel against you. I don't want to do things that will cause you to be upset. So Avad al-Treb is saying, is including the chilu and rechimu, it's including fear and love, and he says, the ava was to become connected to Hashem, and the fear is that not to be separated from Hashem, even with mesiras nefesh, belishum tam v'seichum musik, because there is no reason for mesiras nefesh. What is it? Teva aliki, it's the natural, instinctive nature of a Jew, because of his neshama, that he cannot be separated from Hashem. The Alter Rebbe said, Ayid nishtevil, and nishteken. Not he wants, not he could be separated from Hashem. Why can't you? Because you're a part of Hashem. Even at the time you sin, you're still connected to Hashem. Your revealed powers, your thought, speech, and action are rebelling against Hashem. But the neshama is always. I mentioned in the past, this Feilish Jew, Hungarian Jew, whatever he was, a very Chassidish Jew, once came into the Rebbe for Yechidus, and he says he likes Chabad, but there's one problem with Chabad. Why are they Mekarev, the non-religious Jews? He doesn't like the fact that they're Mekarev, non-religious Jews. So the Rebbe said to him, let me ask you a question. What happens if one of your Rebbes, one of your tzaddikim, yeah? Your chassidish tzaddikim. If their grandson would turn away from Yiddishkeit, would they do everything possible to bring him back? He said, of course. So the Rebbe said, why? He said, what do you mean why? He's a grandson, child of a tzaddik. Of course you have to bring him back. So the Rebbe said to him, every Jew is a grandchild of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Every Jew is a grandchildren of holy people. So what's the difference? I mean, just think about it. Every Jew, every Jew has this neshama. There's no difference. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is not more Jewish than the biggest sinner, and the biggest sinner is not any less Jewish than Moshe Rabbeinu is. Maybe their behavior is not the same. Maybe their understanding, their feelings are not the same. But now the Rebbe is saying over here, you have this by nature, you're Jewish, you have this neshama with this natural instinctive love of Hashem that is always there and is ready to give up its life for Hashem. So he says, V'koshkin, how much more so? If you're willing to physically give up your life, how much more so? V'shvidus ataivas, hakala mi yisuri misa, just giving up, breaking your temptation, which is definitely much easier than dying. Shekarev elov adava yesir. It's so much even more, it's closer than having to give up your life. Lich b'sheyetzer, to conquer the Yetzirah. Hein b'china sur merah, whether it's not, you know, turning away from evil. Afilu aveda kala shel divrei seifim, even a small, seemingly easy aveda of a rabbinic. Why not? Because he doesn't want lavet out of tzayin yisbarach. He doesn't want to give up. He doesn't want to transgress the sin. Me'acha shenifra, but because if you do sin, you are separated mi'chudei v'achdusei from the oneness of Hashem. K'mei aveda zara m'shas ma'isim. Is mamish the idols, and Alter Rebbe is going to give a whole thing over here. And let me just say it outside. The Alter Rebbe says like this: L'chayda, why should a person want to give up his life for Aveda Zara? Let him do it, and then he'll do tshuva. They're all attracted to you, huh?
I'm telling you, you need to go away. You're so sweet.
If one second. The Alter Rebbe is saying that if the person, when the person sins, yeah, even a small aveda, the cheder guy should think to himself like this. Why can't I bow down to an idol? I'll do tshuva afterwards, and I'll still be connected. The Alter Rebbe is going to, in the whole long page, it never enters his mind that. Because a Jew doesn't want to be separated even temporarily from Hashem. It's a very interesting, there's a story with the Rebbe's father, with Reb Levick, in Russia, when you had to apply to the draft, for the Russian Tsar over there, whatever it was, Stalin, whoever it was. So, on the form, if you wrote Jew, it made it much worse for you. And if you wrote Guy, it was much easier for you. You know, if you wrote, you weren't Jewish. So there's a person in the Rebbe's father's city, that on the draft, not he meant it, not he, but he wrote, he was a guy, to be able to get out of the draft easier. Reb Levick heard about it, and the next Shabbos, Reb Levick got up in shul, and he made a whole speech, the way a Jew is not allowed to be separated from Hashem, even verbally, even though you don't mean it, and definitely not in action. And he said, even though you don't mean it, it's temporary, you're just doing it, you know, you don't mean it, nothing. He said, even verbally, even if you don't mean it mentally, to separate yourself from Hashem is forbidden. And the guy went after Shabbos, can you imagine this? He went back to the draft board. He said, I want my form back. And he crossed out Goy and he wrote Jew. And I heard from Siddush Yidden that in Russia, in the 1927, the Friedrich was arrested, and that, you know, the whole story of Yibis Tammuz, that Chassidim, you know, a lot of times in Russia would ask, you connect to Shneerson, you're connected to Shneerson. The Chassidim could have said no, and they would have gotten out of a lot of trouble, but the Chassidim, this is what I heard from Chassidim Shidin, that the Chassidim in Russia had Mesiras Nefesh, not to even verbally say, they're not connected to the Friedrich Rebbe, even though it would have made the life much, much easier in not being tortured in Siberia and jail and all that. But verbally, they didn't want to be separated from the Rebbe. And now the Rebbe is saying over here, a Jew doesn't want to be separated from Hashem at all. And he says, and he could do tshuva even by Aveda Zara, so why would he hesitate to worship an idol when he knows he could do tshuva? And then he says, speaking, even though the Gemara says, if somebody says, I will sin and do tshuva. He says, Ema speaking, the Gemara says, we don't give him the opportunity to do tshuva. But the Alter Rebbe says, that doesn't mean you can't do tshuva. Meaning, Hashem doesn't hold his hand and strengthen his hand, liasli shasa kesher, to have an appropriate time, las is tshuva, to do tshuva. In other words, we don't help him doing tshuva. Avam docha kasha, but if the time was pushed through, vasa tshuva, and the guy did tshuva, ein lach davar she'em b'fnei tshuva, nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Like we said last week, even when Torah itself says you cannot do tshuva, you could still do tshuva. The Gemara says, Eima speaking means, normally when a person comes to do tshuva, Hashem helps him. Somebody comes to purify, Messiah, he says, Hashem helps him. So if a guy says, I'm going to sin and do tshuva, it's more difficult for him to do tshuva. Eima speaking beyond, it doesn't mean he cannot do tshuva. Eima speaking beyond means we don't give him the opportunity to do tshuva. Why? Because tshuva caused you to sin. Why did you sin? Because I'm relying on doing tshuva. So tshuva is an accomplice in the sin, so the prosecutor cannot become the defense attorney, as Gemara uses the expression. So therefore, you're not going to be given the opportunity to do tshuva. But if you push through, and yet, a person will never enter his mind to worship an idol, even though he's going to do tshuva afterwards. The Alpha became, nevertheless, even though Lachir is able to do tshuva, Kolish Yisrael, every single Jew, Mochan is ready, Umezuman and Desert prepared, Limser Nafshi al Kedushas Hashem, Shalelish Tachveis Lavajazon, not to bow down to an idol, Afil Lefisha, even temporarily, and to do tshuva. Why not? Because Erd Hashem Amalubish Benafshim Kanal, because of this godliness that's in their soul, which is not connected to time and place at all. Ela lemaila miazman, it's above time. Vishalatu meishal all of kinei and controls time. He says, and this is all in the negativity. And then he's going to say to you, why will a Jew not want to sin and worship idols temporarily, even though he could do tshuva? And he knows he could do tshuva. Because a Jew, the neshama within him, doesn't allow him to ever become separated from God, even for a second. Because that level of godliness is above time and place. And therefore, if you blemish, you blemish forever, until you do tshuva. And if you do good, it's good forever. So he says, this is the greatness of the Jew. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe is saying, this way, you know why it's so easy? Because the bottom line is, if once you realize every sin is idol worshipping, and giving up your temptation is much, much easier than giving up your life, it's not very hard. If you realize what you're doing when you're sinning, then you'll never come to do it. And therefore, it is very easy for a Jew to serve Hashem in thought, speech, and action. And the same thing applies, like we said, in thought, speech, and action. The Gemara says, if somebody willingly thinks an evil thought, it's a sin. Called a rasha. If somebody speaks forbidden language, it's a sin. Somebody does, obviously, it's a sin. So the Pasuk says, even in thought, a person has the ability to control the thoughts. Somebody once came to the Magid and said, how can I control thoughts from coming into my brain? So he sent him to a disciple of Rav Kitzis. He sent him to, he'll answer your question. So he goes to his house, it's at night, knocks on the door, no answer. He looks through the window, he sees the rabbi sitting and learning. He says, okay, maybe he didn't hear. He knocks louder, no answer. He's knocking for hours. Knocking louder. And the Wolf Kisses doesn't open the door. Finally, he opens the door. He said, what can I do for you? He said, the Maggid sent me to you that you should teach me how not to let foreign thoughts into my head. So the guy said to him, I just answered, obviously these are all Ruach HaKodesh people. He said, I answered your question. You knocked on the door. It's my house. In my house, I let in who I want, and I don't let in who I don't want. So if it's your house, your brain, you have the jurisdiction, who you want to let in, and who you don't want to let in. So the Alter Rebbe explained before with a Beinoni, because the Bainin has a Nefesh HaBamis and it has a Yetzirah, so yeah, evil thoughts are coming into the brain. But the question, they're knocking at the door. The question is, do you open the door and let them in willingly, or do you get rid of them? So the Rebbe says, I mean, what the Maggid taught this guy through the Svov Kitz is that in your house, you're the boss. In your body, you're the boss. You let in who you want, you don't let in who you don't. And you don't want the thoughts to come in, you don't let them in. V'heim b'chinas v'as, that's in a negative way, sur made up. And also in a positive way, I say ta'if, l'izgaber kari, to strengthen himself like a lion, b'gvura, with strength, v'aim it's 11, power of the heart, neged ha'yetzer, to wake up against the yetzer. Why doesn't a person do positive mitzvahs? They're lazy. Right? Why doesn't a person want to do a positive mitzvah? I'd rather sleep, I'd rather whatever. I'm too lazy. So he said, if you get up like a lion, to fight the Yetzer Hara, Hamachbid is gufei, that makes the body heavy and thick. Umapul all of Atzla, and it brings upon him, it dumps upon him laziness. Mibachinus, you say the Ofisha Benefisha Bamis, from the element of earth, which is the concept of laziness. Midlatriach gufei, to bother his body, bezrizus, with zealousness to run to do a mitzvah. Or not to do any, service of Hashem. That has a bother to it. Why doesn't a person want to do a mitzvah saseh? Yeah. They're tired. They're too lazy. He said, Avot, Rav Naftali Rabshitzer, when he was a little kid, he was maybe 8 years old, I think. Anyway, it was cold, Russia was cold in the winters, believe it or not like LA. So, even though people here, when the air conditioning is on, always say it's cold even in the summer. But over there, the winter is really cold. So the Yetzer Hara comes, he's waking up in the morning. Yetzer Hara says to him, stay in bed, it's cold outside, and the warm covers. Why do you have to get up to work so early? So he said to the Yetzer Hara, I don't understand you. You got up earlier than me to do your job. Why didn't you stay in bed under the warm covers? This is what this 8-year-old kid said to the Yetzer Hara. He says, you're up already before me. And you're complaining why I'm getting up later than you. It's no good. Okay.